following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Erica and I had a really good, really great trip down to California for U.S. Thanksgiving. And it was special this year because we got to see a lot of family, and even more family than we had previous years. Erica's brother, twin brother, Ryan, after Ryan Sandberg, because his family is huge Cubs fans, if you didn't already know that. Her twin brother, Ryan, his wife, Amy, and their two boys, Colton and Wesley, moved to Bakersfield earlier this fall. And so we got to be with all of Erica's siblings and her parents and our three nephews and one niece. The niece sort of gets forgotten in that because she's only like 2 months old, right? So it was three nephews for a couple of years, and now there's a niece thrown in there. And you can't just say nephews, just nephews. You have to include the niece. But anyway, it was a nice and a relaxing time together. In, sadly, only slightly drier and slightly warmer weather. You should feel bad for me. We expected like desert because that's what Bakersfield basically is. And it rained at least a couple days when we were there. And that, I mean, California needs it. So I'm happy for them as a state, but they could have put it off a week or two for my benefit. But it's good to be home, and it's good and a little bit almost bizarre to feel like we're jumping into the second week of Advent already, right? I was thrown off even this morning, knowing full well that it was the first of the month, the first Sunday of the month, and that we would be doing communion, but because it was the second Sunday of Advent, I was just all mixed up in my head about the flow of the morning. But it feels strange almost that it's December 4th and we're 2 weeks here into Advent. It'll be very, very different next year when it's shifted almost two whole weeks back. But Advent is a really great time. It's a season of anticipation, a season of expectation, and a season of waiting. I was disappointed last week to miss hearing from folks about their experiences at the men's and the women's retreats at Cascades Camp in Yelm. But from everything I heard, it was a really rich and really meaningful time to hear about how God used these two retreats to work in people's lives in really incredible ways. And when we, as a worship committee, were trying to figure out the timing for asking folks to share their retreat experiences, the first Sunday of Advent actually felt like a really natural fit for that. Because we got to hear at the very beginning of this season of anticipation, stories and testimonies to kick off anticipating for Christ coming. Hear stories of Christ at work as we are still waiting for Christ to come. Advent is an intentional season of waiting. And it's a season where we wait with anticipation for what God has for us, both in this season and into the new year. And I don't know about you, but I always can find waiting difficult, especially when it's the potentially unknown, though here we're waiting for the known. But that waiting, that anticipation is made easier and richer when we have past experiences to look back on and to remind myself of a similar situation. And so I trust and I hope that hearing those stories last Sunday is making this season of Advent richer and fuller, being reminded of the things that God has been doing in the midst of us. Last week, the video you saw, I believe, it was planned at least, was on love. Yeah? I'm getting two nods from worship committee members. So, okay, Gwen put it in, and the rest of you saw it, whether you know it or not. But that theme of love is a really foundational theme to this season, right? Love drives Advent. Love informs all that we do and hear and see and share at Advent. And recognizing and embracing God's love as we walk closer and closer to Christmas Day makes all the difference for us in this season of waiting, in this season of anticipation. And so I hope that you will keep that focus on love in your mind and on your hearts all throughout this season. Today, we shift our focus just slightly to the theme. Do you remember what the video was this morning? It was like 10 minutes ago, not worship committee members. Hope, correct. The theme of this morning is hope. The hope that is present in the season of Advent. And I believe that we have a lot to be hopeful for in this Advent season. And we have also the incredible opportunity to be hope for others. Our scripture passage this morning is Romans 15, verses 4 through 13. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, please feel free to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you one. But before we dive into God's word, let me pray for us. Loving God, we are thankful for your great gift of love. We know that we have done nothing to earn your love, but that you give it freely. And for that, we are astonished and oh so grateful. Lord, help us to embrace and dwell in your deep love this morning and every morning. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So reading from Romans 15, verses 4 to 13. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will have hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is an important word in the darkness and gloom of December. Today's weather aside. And it's a December that comes after almost two solid months of rain and gloom. And with the time change, I know for those who are mourning people, who are night people. Is that what it is? Night people are having a harder time because it gets so dark so early, right? Hope is an important word in the midst of struggle and pain and suffering, whether we are experiencing that ourselves or lamenting it on behalf of others. Hope is key to this season because it is key to who God is and who Jesus is. And so hope is something that we have to take care to recognize. Yesterday afternoon in Burnaby, dozens, even hundreds of youth and youth leaders met to be trained to lead the Youth Alpha series in the schools of the Lower Mainland this spring. And this has a natural movement that has come from those chapel gatherings that you've heard me mention for a couple years now. This is the next step that has come out of worshiping God as students to share about God and who Jesus is in their schools. Just in Surrey, there's already dozens of students who are planning and working to bring this Youth Alpha series into their schools in the new year. That brings me, and I think that should bring all of us, really great hope for our city and for our students. Over the last few weeks, I've been able to have wonderful conversations with someone who was at one point in life certain that there was no God, but who has since, even just in the last year, felt called into relationship with the very real and very personal creator of the universe. Questions are being asked. The Holy Spirit is being felt, and there is an overwhelming joy that takes over this person's face because of this newfound relationship with Jesus. Again, this brings me great hope. And hearing this morning from Deanna about the project that she's doing for school, not just to hand things to homeless people, but to share a meal, to get to know them and their stories, to honor the dignity of their humanity, brings me so much hope. To see in these people the image of God brings me really great hope. God is at work all around us, folks, and Paul reminds us of that here. In his letter to the Romans, Paul speaks profoundly about hope. I have to admit, it was bizarre for me writing some of these words together because my parents' names are Paul and Hope. So I think there's one sentence where they're written back to back. And I was like, this is strange, but there it is. In this letter to the Romans, Paul speaks profoundly about hope. And I see three really distinct references to or opportunities for us to understand hope here in this passage. And while certainly it's all connected, I want to treat kind of each of these individually to get at the fullness of hope that I read here in Paul's letter to the Romans. The first thing is that Paul discusses the hope that is found in God through the understanding and the dwelling in Scripture. He's referring specifically to the Hebrew Scriptures, to the Old Testament, but we see that fullness in all of Scripture, right? And the fact that hope is found in Scripture is probably not really hard for us to understand after we spent the last 8 weeks really diving deep into Scripture, reading the whole New Testament together. And if you're at all like me, that was an experience of really profound hope. I found hope through that in the promise of who God is, in the promise of who Jesus is, and in the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I found hope in the questions we asked and we answered each week, questions that reminded me both of the personal and of the communal nature of Scripture. I found hope in the discussion times. I found hope in my own reading time. I experienced hope in being reminded that the people we read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament are that. They are people. They are human beings. There is hope for me in that because it's a reminder of the way God uses all different kinds of people for all different kinds of things. God can and does use all types of people for his glory and for the good of the world. So in God's word, we are given hope. Hope in the promises that God makes, hope in the promise of who God is, and hope pointing towards the coming of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we see that there is hope for the Gentiles. Gentiles are included here very specifically in Paul's writing. There is in this a great hope for the inclusive nature of God. Paul does a heck of a job in the middle section of our passage, making it very clear that the coming of the Messiah extends beyond just the Jewish people, but now to the whole world, Jews and Gentiles alike. There's nothing exclusive about the hope to be found in this Advent season. There is no reason for us to believe or to act as though this hope is just for us. Paul references four clear Hebrew Scripture, Old Testament passages that give voice to the hope that the Gentiles can and should celebrate. And the last reference there from Isaiah 11:10 is, for me, the most telling one, the one that addresses both the source of hope and the abundant reach of this hope. It reads, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope." Jesus is hope for you and for me as much as for any and everybody. And in a world that can often feel divided, that is a great promise of hope indeed. And third, at the end of our passage today, Paul says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Most often, I would read that to mean that God is a God in whom we hope. And that's absolutely true, right? God is a God in whom we hope. But this season, and in some of the reading that I've done this last week, there's another side to that that I've been invited into, I guess. I was struck by a really intriguing and really hopeful thought, that in the season of Advent, perhaps it is not just we who are hopeful. Perhaps it is not just humanity that is waiting with anticipation in this season, but it is a season where God, too, is hopeful for us. Hopeful for what we will do, what we will become, how we will grow in relationship with him. It was specifically a poem entitled "Blessing the House of the Heart" and the introduction to it by a woman named Jan Richardson that really brought this idea to life for me. And I'd like to share that poem with you. She writes, "If you could see how this blessing shimmers inside you, you would never wonder whether there will be light enough, time enough, room enough for you. If you could see the way this blessing has inscribed itself on every wall of your heart, writing its shining line across every doorway, tracing the edge of every window and table and hall. If you could see this, you would never question where home is or whether it has a welcome for you. The blessing wishes to give you a glimpse. It will not tell you it has been waiting. It will not tell you it has been keeping watch. It would not want you to know just how long it has been holding this quiet vigil for you. It simply wants you to see what it sees, wants you to know what it knows, how this blessing already blazes in you, illuminating every corner of your broken and beautiful heart." In this season where we are keeping vigil, where we are eagerly waiting for and anticipating the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God, too, is keeping vigil for us. God is eagerly waiting and has been eagerly waiting for days, months, years, perhaps decades, for us to walk into the blessing of his home, for us to open ourselves up to the truth of who Jesus is. God indeed has a great hope for us. God has a great hope for the world. And it is the season of Advent and Christmas where we are reminded so brilliantly of that. God's hope for us can be summed up with one expression of love, one huge, unfathomable expression of love, the sending of a Savior. Not just any Savior, but God's own Son for us. If that is not a God that acts out of hope, I'm not sure what is. That is the hope that we have in the season and the hope that God has for us in this season. In light of the fullness of the hope we experience in this Advent season, I would invite you into a couple of things. First, take some time each day to be mindful of your hope. Your hope in Christ, your hope in God, and your hope for the coming new year. Where is your hope found? What are you hoping for? And secondly, I would encourage you to share your hope, to share the hope of the season of Advent. This is a hope that, as we read today, is for all people. And we have a responsibility to spread that hope. We have a responsibility to share the hope of Advent, the hope of a coming Messiah, the hope that for many may be just the glimmer of light that they need in a season of darkness. Paul says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I invite you to share that overflow of hope. Don't let it go to waste. It's not meant just for you, but for everyone. God of hope, we pray in the confidence and in the hope that you have so graciously given to us this Advent season. Lord, help us to be good stewards of your hope. Help us to share the beauty and joy and peace and love and comfort of your hope to a world that desperately needs it. Help us to be instruments of your hope as we dwell in hope ourselves through the promises we read throughout your word. We pray this all in the name of the ultimate source of hope, your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.